What's up, college baseball fans? Thank you for listening to another episode. It is a Friday night, well, actually Saturday morning, June 1st. It's already June, and we had 32 games of baseball taking place today, and we still have three more going on as we're recording this. It's 12 a.m. on the East Coast, and we have Liberty beating Tennessee 6-1 right now in the seventh. We also have UCLA beating Omaha 5-1 in the top of the eighth, and then the one seed of the day who looks kind of shaky is Oregon
Might
State.
Might go down, just teetering on the edge here.
We've had 0-1 seeds going down today, which is a first time in the BB Corps era, except we got the Beavers struggling against the Bearcats of Cincinnati. It's 4-2 right now, top of the six. Still plenty of the ball game left. But we are saying that Cincinnati is red hot right now. They're coming off an American Athletic Conference tournament where they went 4-0 and put a bajillion runs on the board.
That's so right.
That's a tough draw for the old Oregon State Beavs.
It certainly turned out to be one. And Cincinnati is not the only good storyline of the day. Ben, we've been waiting for months, and our fans have been waiting for months to get to this point, and it is finally here. We've got head-scratching plays, new teams to root for, and incredible games to get through. But as you said, we are still watching some games right now.
Yeah, we are. And, dude, the one game that we should just go ahead and hit on, because we just finished the end of it, but the Central Michigan Chippewas, how about that, dude? That might have been the most fun team in college baseball.
They have officially won 19 games in a row. Get your Moneyball story out. They win again. The Chippewas are officially the team I'm rooting for in this tournament. They are having more fun than any baseball team I've ever seen, and I have several examples. Ben and I were dying laughing before the show watching this team play baseball. It's literally what baseball is all about. The Central Michigan Chippewas are showing us what baseball is all about right now.
Yeah, so let's talk about a couple examples of the shenanigans those guys were doing.
So funny.
Like, my personal favorite was when the guy got hit by a pitch right in the back, fell down, acted like he was hurt. The trainer runs out there, and the moment the trainer takes a knee, he sprints to first base.
He got me. He totally had me. I was like, oh, man, I wonder, like, what happened to him. He totally fooled. And the guys in the dugout were acting like there was a rave going on. Like, how much do you think the first week of the year, what do you think went through the coach's mind? Like, God, these kids are absolutely unreal. It's going to be a long season. I hope we win some games.
100%, dude. Those guys, the coaches there were probably just like, you know, whenever you have like a dog that you just can't train,
yeah,
you just finally let him just like pee all over the carpet. That's what they did. They're just like, you know what, you guys go have your fun. You're a bunch of unique individuals, and then they pop off 19 straight wins currently. Looking to face Mississippi State tomorrow. Tough task for them because Mississippi State rested Ethan Small.
Dude,
today.
But I tell you what, I guarantee it, they won't be scared or nervous at all. I've seen this team host their own dugout mound visit equivalent when Miami had a mound visit. The whole offense, every player in the dugout had their own little circle visit in their dugout to make fun of Miami. How hilarious is that? I've never seen that before.
You want to know the most ironic thing about this whole thing is that all season we were talking about how much fun Miami has and like how those guys just
dude,
like
you were dead on.
And it was just the reverse. Like they got out Miami today by the Chippewas. So
and my last examples, I'm just watching the game in between innings, and an outfielder walks off the field, and he jumps into his arms, wraps his leg around his buddy, and his buddy turns around and just carries him into the dugout. Just carries him into the dugout, like it's right in front of a couple thousand people. I mean, I've never seen anything like this team in the first just 3 hours of watching them. It's awesome.
You know, I've never been north of Kentucky. And actually, South Indiana. We played Evansville, wherever that is.
Not missed much.
And I can tell you this. I don't know much about the North because I've been in the South my whole life. But Northerners are kind of weird. Like, the way that the Chippewas were playing today, like, I would have been intimidated. I'd have been like, who are these guys? What's going on here? And then I can only imagine what the Miami kids were thinking. Like,
dude, we have to get a Chippewa on this podcast.
Let's get the whole team. The whole team.
We're gonna get them on family FaceTime and just record the whole thing.
It's gonna look like the beginning of a Brady Bunch episode with like 12 different screens.
Yes, but let's put the Chippewas aside because we did have 31 other games. Ben, would you like to just hit the scores for the fans, let them know what has happened to this point in the evening on the opening day of this magical tournament? And I think it's gonna last, hopefully. Well, I think the last day possible for college baseball is June 24th, I believe. So hopefully this is just the first day of three more weeks of college baseball.
It will be. So let's start with one of the first games of the day. It was in the Atlanta Regional. We had Coastal Carolina and Auburn. And before the game started, I was just kind of like watching the pregame show. And they said 15 to 30 mile-an-hour winds straight out. And I was just like, oh, my God, there's going to be 100 runs scored. And so there was 23 runs scored. It was Auburn 16, Coastal 7. The nightcap of that game was Georgia Tech and Florida A&M. Georgia Tech won 13-2, so they handled them pretty well. Moving to the Nashville Regional, I watched a lot of the Nashville Regional today. McNeese State was one of my favorite teams. I kind of gave them the Central Michigan treatment before the tournament started. They showed up in the cowboy outfits on the plane ride to Nashville with the matching. Everybody had matching clothes on. So it was blue jeans, blue polo, and then like a white cowboy hat. I was like, you know what? I love that. That's something I can root for. That's something Ben Upton can root for. And they ended up losing a heartbreaker 6-5 to Indiana State. Really impressed with Indiana State's senior leadership. That's going to be a team that possibly could give Vanderbilt some trouble tomorrow. Vanderbilt played Ohio State, which was one of the better four seeds, in my opinion. But Vanderbilt held them pretty well in check, 8-2. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the Athens Regional, a regional that I really didn't want to talk about today because Mercer got absolutely whooped by the Dogs, and I heard it.
You wore it like a man. The way I know you would, a testament to your character. I still love you, Ben.
You know what I can compare that to is me pimping a home run and then just knowing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball was coming, and I was just sitting there wearing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs from the Georgia fans. The Georgia faithful, which actually they weren't too bad to me. They could have been so much worse, but I like refreshed my Twitter, and like three of the biggest Georgia athletic Twitter accounts that weren't like officially a part of the University of Georgia Athletics. It was like Red and Black Nation and Dogs something, blah, blah, blah. Like they all had like 25,000 followers. They all quote tweeted my tweet about Georgia being scared to play Mercer. And that was in the second inning when Mercer was down 8-0. So,
dude, hey, I just want to know.
I love it though.
I just want to know, are you going to have to start paying them rent with all that space you're occupying in their heads for them to go out of their way and tweet at you? I mean, Jesus, it ain't that serious. But, I mean, honestly, we haven't gotten any death threats yet, so things can't be that bad.
I got called an idiot by this lady that had three Bible verses in her bio. And I was just like, come on, the Lord's watching, ma'am. Like, you don't need to call me an idiot. But anyway, so Mercer loses 13-3. But they actually outscored Georgia, if you want to count like the last three innings of the game, 3-0. So
there you go, Ben. I always love your positivity.
Moral victory. And then the day game in the Athens Regional was insane. Florida State hit three homers in the first inning. I think Drew Mendoza hit two homers. They win 13-7. So Florida State and Georgia match up tomorrow. Mercer at Florida Atlantic. Moving on to the Stillwater Regional, which was actually in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma State was hosting in Oklahoma City because they had their field flooded. And it was a little tight for the Cowboys. Oklahoma State only won 2-0 against our Harvard boys, who are pretty big fans of the show. Our boy Patty Mack, Patrick McCall, he had a chance to tie the game up in the top of the ninth. He went down swinging, but tough loss there. And then Nebraska-UConn played an insane game. There was a catch in that UConn game that I don't know if you saw, James, but fly ball to third baseman.
Oh, yes. Forward. He like took it off his buddy's backside almost.
Yeah, and then fumbled it around and caught it barehanded. It was crazy. Never seen anything like it. It was 3 inches from hitting the third baseman in the forehead. He didn't see it. He never saw it.
Yeah, third baseman is shielding his eyes from the sun with his glove, a lot of nouns there. And the ball, like, he lands right next to him. Like, he's just standing there hoping the ball lands in his glove, like freaking Sandlot, and it is a foot away from him, which never happens. You always end up being 20 feet away from it. And just Buddy, shortstop, comes out of nowhere, makes his diving catch. Super cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool moment. UConn ended up losing that game 8-5, though. So UConn and Harvard are going to be played against each other in the afternoon game tomorrow. Nebraska matches up against Oklahoma State, which that game is going to be packed. It's going to be a lot of crazy fans.
We've seen Nebraska travel well already, bringing out almost 18,000 people at the Big Ten Tournament Championship. So it's going to be an awesome atmosphere tomorrow.
Ugliest uniforms in college baseball, though.
Vanderbilt.
No. Yeah. Nebraska.
No. Vanderbilt's black and brownish gold pinstripes are terrible.
No. The U of N Nebraska jerseys are the worst things I've ever seen.
You know, I have two words that are going to change your mind because I know you so well. And fans, get ready for this. Ben, are you ready as well?
Sure, I guess.
Black pants.
Dude, that's fine.
Come on. You have hated black pants your whole life.
I know, but like, I'm not a big black pants guy, but it's Vanderbilt. They look a lot better in black pants than Nebraska looks in giant U of N jerseys. But we'll let the fans decide. Tweet us tomorrow your thoughts. Do you guys like the Vanderbilt black jerseys or the U of N jerseys better?
They'll have to match up with each other somehow, and then we'll just watch the game with our eyes closed and just listen to it.
It's pretty much what I do anyways. All right, so my favorite game of the day, and I should have saved this for last, but Southern Miss Arizona State was the biggest blowout of the day besides LSU and Stony Brook, which played right after it. But holy crap, Arizona State gave up 12 runs in the fifth inning, and it got started by one of the craziest scenarios ever. I believe the catcher's name is Storm Cooper, hits a home run to break the – it was in the fourth inning. No, fifth inning. Top of the fifth.
Yeah, it was a 12-run fifth inning.
Yeah, 12-run fifth inning. I'm an idiot. You're
an idiot.
So Southern Miss is down 1-0. Both starters are dealing. Alec Marsh is just throwing cutters that cut across home plate. And Storm Cooper comes up to lead off the fifth. And he's not a catcher. He's a second-base shortstop. I think mostly shortstop. But he hits a home run to start the fifth inning. First one of the year. And so the game's tied 1-1. And then all of a sudden, there was, I don't know, like 18 hits in a row, it felt like. And Matt Wallner hit a ball literally to the moon. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look on our Twitter. There's a video of Matt Wallner hitting a ball. It would be crazy for me to estimate it less than 490, 500 feet, something like that.
Dude, come on. That was probably a 440-foot shot.
It hit the top of the giant banner behind the championship
billboard thing. It was an unreal
bomb. I'll put it to you this way. Ben McDonald said it was a top three homer he's ever seen in that ballpark, and he played in the BESR era.
You know what, that is a great point. I love Ben McDonald on the calls. He's absolutely electric. He's great.
And then we also had LSU and Stony Brook, which ended in similar fashion. LSU wins 17-3. So the two winners tomorrow, Southern Miss and LSU, about like an hour and a half apart. So Southern Miss is going to travel really well. They both put up over 15 runs yesterday, and both teams are really hot. Like, they're winning games. This is going to be probably one of my go-to games to watch tomorrow is LSU and Southern Miss.
Amen to that. I'm so fired up for that game.
Yeah, we got the Starkville Regional, which we just talked about with Central Michigan and Miami. Central Michigan holds off 6-5. That's going to be a fun matchup for Mississippi State tomorrow because Mississippi State actually has a lot of fun on the field too. Like, I've seen them play a lot this year, and they between like Mangum and McNamee and
Westberg.
One of those. There's like three of them that just cause a lot of excitement throughout the game. So. And I'm really curious to see how Central Michigan matches up against Ethan Small. I don't think I know for a fact they haven't seen any pitcher like him because Ethan Small has the best stuff I've seen a college pitcher have in my lifetime. But you never know. Like, there comes a point where, like, we know Central Michigan doesn't care who they play. They've won 19 straight. They've won 19 straight for a reason.
They're not scared.
They're not scared, but they're not going to win tomorrow. Like, Mississippi State fans, don't be worried. Ethan Small is going to go out and throw probably 7 innings, 11 Ks, maybe one run.
Dude, Central Michigan. It is certainly possible, my friend.
It is. No, it's possible. But the home field advantage that they have and the, I don't know, the star power and skill set that the players have just completely outmatches Central Michigan. But
I will say this. If they have a chance to get to Small, it's got to be in the first inning because that's when you really have a chance to just blow the doors off a game. Before the starter gets to settle in, you get to turn your lineup over earlier. And if you don't score in the first inning, it's really rough because what that means is you're starting the second inning with either your 4 or 5 hole up, and then the crappy part of your order is still to come. So you're not going to likely score again until the fourth.
And that's your three best hitters didn't get didn't score a run. So like, why would the bottom half of your order score?
No, that's exactly what the numbers show. Like, you score the most in the first, and then you score a little bit less in the second, a little bit less in the third, and then it jumps back up again to the fourth. So, like, basically, you've got, like, 3 good rounds at doing your damage, and you better be ready to go when the opening bell sounds and throw your punch then. So, exactly. I'm looking forward to it.
And it just gives the team a whole lot of confidence. Like, if the 6 through 9 hole hitters see that 1 through 5 put up good at-bats and hit the ball hard, like, in their mind, they're like, oh, this kid isn't that good. Like, this kid's not all that everybody's talking about, because I guarantee you every single player on Central Michigan knows at least 5 to 8 Mississippi State players, but I guarantee you nobody on Mississippi State's team knows one single player's name for Central Michigan.
And that's why we love this time of year, because the upsets do happen and it's a blast to watch.
But they're not going to upset them tomorrow. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's not happening. I don't know. We'll see.
Of course, I mean, I wouldn't bet on it either. They've got the best pitcher in college baseball. They have one of the best offenses. They're playing at home. They were definitely beatable today against Southern. So
Southern can swing it, and I think that was the biggest untold mystery of like the pre-college baseball regional like lead up for this week. Mm-hmm. Was for some reason everybody was just counting Southern out. Everybody was like, we should save Ethan Small for game 2. Like, blah, 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 which is like, and it worked out for Mississippi State and their fans. But like, there was a point where Southern was up, I think 6-4. And like, they were also up 3-1 or 2-1. Mm-hmm. It was, and they were close to putting some balls out that were like warning track. And Mississippi State, like, I'm not going to say they escaped away, because I think no matter what the score was, they were always in striking distance to come back. But Southern, Southern Tigers, Lions,
Jaguars.
I knew I would have got there eventually.
Yeah, keep naming cats.
Yeah, the Southern Jags. They gave Mississippi State a little scare. Like, the crowd was silent in the sixth inning.
They should have been scared. They were not taking care of business. And it's not even like they weren't taking care of business. It was like you had a legitimate chance to lose the game.
Yeah,
and maybe they weren't focused. But
there was a point where Southern was counting outs in the dugout.
Yes, yes. Like, Mississippi, make no mistake about it, Mississippi State was lucky to win this game.
No.
Yes, that's what this means. You were threatened by Southern. You were lucky to win. Like, you narrowly escaped.
They would if Southern was up like by 6 runs in the 7th, I still would have taken Mississippi State to win.
Right. No, I agree. That's a totally different story, because then Southern is playing not to lose, and Mississippi State is going to try to get everything out of their talent. But I'm telling you, even when it's 7-7, Mississippi State wasn't nervous, and they should have been.
Yeah.
They should have been. So, but anyway. Yeah.
But it was 4-2 in the 5th, and then Mississippi State answered with a 4 spot. And then Southern got 2 more to jump out to a 6-4 lead. And then Mississippi State went 3 runs and then 2 runs, back-to-back innings, win by 5. So, like, yeah, they should have been nervous, but I'm not saying like they should have lost that game. They were gonna win no matter what.
Moving on.
We agree to disagree there. So I lost my train of thought.
Well, oh, you know, we I know you say they were gonna win no matter what, but every year 2 or 3 number one seeds think the same thing and lose. So that's
facts.
They were lucky they weren't a part of that sample this year.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to let the listeners know that I am battling through a case of poison ivy right now.
Ben was a straight-up questionable call for this for game day today. He was questionable, but he's battling through it. Definitely not 100%.
So if I lose my train of thought a lot during this episode, it's because like I'm trying to
not itch myself to death.
Yeah, I'm trying to like stay mentally sharp and not scratch my my cat got out like 10 days ago, and yes, I own a cat. Say something. I own a cat, and she escaped, and so I went through like this bush to get her, and I didn't get her. She eventually came back later that night. I gave up. I was getting ready to get a new cat, and like 2 days later, I woke up and just like a nice little rash on my side, but it wasn't bad. But I didn't do anything about it, and now it's getting pretty bad. So I'm gonna have to go get some. I don't know. What do you put on it? Sunscreen.
You're just going to have to give it some time, my man. But yeah. There's a couple other scores. Arkansas handled business against Central Connecticut, and that puts them in a position to match up against TCU, who manhandled Cal today. And TCU will be able to handle or throw out Nick Lodolo tomorrow against the Razorbacks.
Dude, all Isaiah Campbell versus Nick Lodolo. Woo-wee. Were they call the Hogs there or something? What do they do in Arkansas? Call the Hogs?
Yeah, they're going to be calling the Hogs, and TCU's going to be ready to go. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, so the over-under in this TCU-Cal game was 13, and I was like, oh, that's easy. It's a piece of cake, under 13. But, like, no, it was 15. it's all right. It's all right. Moving on to the Chapel Hill Regional. This one is still going on right now. Last I checked, it was Liberty 6-1 in the eighth over Tennessee, which is bad news for me. Because I have Tennessee in the College World Series in my bracket, which isn't looking so good. They got to win 4 more games after this if they lose. And then another upset that happened in the same regional. James's North Carolina Tar Heels had their wake-up call early. Because UNC Wilmington, the 4 seed, put everything they had into winning that game. And still lost it. But, James, go ahead and talk about the finish of that game real quick. Because I know you were pumped about it.
So North Carolina has – it's a back-and-forth game. Tar Heels are down in the ninth, and then the first pitch of the ninth, they hit a homer to tie it to kind of bring the air back into the stadium, so to speak, I guess. But they end up loading the bases with one out, and they're going for the suicide squeeze to walk it off. There's nothing you can do to stop it as long as the ball gets down, right? Well, the kid batting misses the sign, doesn't even offer at it, and his buddy's got to slam on the bricks 20 feet away. And I guess everyone was stealing on the pitch. You know, they're just trying for this mass chaos thing. Like, everyone stole. Because they knew the ball was going to get down, right? That's part of the plan. And so everyone's caught in no man's land. And I can see on the camera that the base runner at second is practically standing on third. And the catcher's got the ball, and the base runner from third is dead to rights. And the standard play here is you run him all the way back to the bag and tag both players and hope one of them steps off, and then you just tag him again, and maybe you get a double play and get out of the inning because people get confused.
Yeah.
But the catcher, two mistakes. Catcher gives up the ball way too early to the third baseman. That was mistake number one. He didn't run him back to the bag. The second mistake is the third baseman chases the runner, which is the winning run, chases him towards home plate. Big mistake. Big mistake. Even I know this as a former mid-major college baseball player, that's not what you do. You never chase a runner towards the next base. And the reason is, if you screw up the play, you don't want him to advance the base. Chase him back to third, and if you mishandle the ball, he just stays stuck at third. But the third baseman chases him home, gives up the ball too late, and he gives it up to the pitcher. You're going to get a tag.
The last person that you want to have.
Yeah, you're going to have a tag play at the plate for the game on the line with a left-handed pitcher. Anyway, he throws the ball too high. He threw it late, and North Carolina walks off out of the game by the skin of their teeth. Mm. And it was just – like, you hate to see that. Like, you – the mid-major team is working so hard just to stay in it, and then just a boneheaded play. You know, it was boneheaded on both sides. The North Carolina guy didn't even offer at the suicide squeeze, and it's just something you don't see in professional baseball, which, in my opinion, makes college baseball more watchable and more fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Yeah, UNC Wilmington, that was one of the teams we talked about on last podcast where we thought that they, you know, if they played flawless on defense, that they were going to have a chance to win that game, which they did. And, I mean, too bad, because they were up 6-5 going into the bottom of the ninth in front of that it was 6-5 bottom nine.
Yep.
And they had a chance to win in front of North Carolina's home faithful day game on a Friday. And first pitch of the ninth, they're up 6-5. And I always forget the guy's name. Is it Dan? No. Aaron Sabato or something like that.
Yep.
Aaron Sabato. I think he's a freshman.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
I talked about him on our last. Maybe it was before the show started. I said he was an animal with.
Yeah. First pitch, bottom nine, puts a tie game, and everybody's going nuts. And then there was like a lightning delay, or was it just a rain delay? Something like that.
Yeah,
and
weather delay.
They had to come back, and then all the shenanigans happened. Miss sign. Run down and they lose. So North Carolina escapes. It looks like they're going to play Liberty tomorrow. If that is the matchup, like, North Carolina better watch out, because Liberty is taking names this year. Like, they're like a Campbell team on steroids. Like, they put their best nine out there, obviously. I think their bench is kind of weak. Like, their depth is bad, but their starting nine is, in my opinion, like, probably ACC talent. So,
oh yeah, it's definitely trending in that direction too.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the matchup North Carolina wanted. But at the same time, like, be careful what you wish for, because this team can really play.
It wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow North Carolina won like 15-0 and got their scare out of the way.
Yeah.
But then, like, it also wouldn't surprise me if Liberty wins tomorrow like 10-2, and North Carolina's just like. They played so well last week in the ACC tournament, and now it's just like they don't play good baseball. But, all right, moving on to this, my favorite regional, because of one thing. The amount of I's and L's in this regional is ridiculous, James. So between Illinois State, Illinois-Chicago, Indiana, and Louisville, how many combined I's and L's are there out of those four teams?
As many L's as you took in our Pick'em Challenge this season.
Oh, that's tough. That's a good one. I like that. Clever. So everybody's taking shots at me today. That's good.
Oh, come on.
But, oh, wow. I thought I just said Jake Mangum liked our tweet. But never mind. Not Jake Mangum. Jake Morrison. Shout out Jake Morrison.
there shall be another time.
Yes. One of these days. Anyways, there's 18 I's and L's out of all four of those combined, averaging almost 5 I's and L's per school. Like, you look at this on a computer screen and, like, you can't read.
You don't want to be dyslexic and look
like
at
you
this.
you know it says Illinois, but you cannot see the individual I's and L's because they look all the same. And so this one's a favorite regional of mine, just because I think it's hilarious how they can put all these together.
No, it's definitely funny now that you mentioned it.
And it also makes it funnier that the you know what seed Louisville is? Or no, you know what rank Louisville is? Are they number 11 in the nation, or are they the 11th?
Louisville is the 7.
All right, well, it has on D1 Baseball's website I saw earlier where it has 11, like number 11 next to Louisville.
It's which probably makes their D1 Baseball's national ranking.
Yeah, and so just those two sticks sitting there make it look even more hilarious because of I's and L's.
No, definitely. But
dude, I'm getting off topic on this podcast. It's been a long day.
No, you're good. I'm excited for this Clemson Ole Miss game tomorrow in the winner's bracket. Definitely going to be a hard matchup for Ole Miss. Clemson's been a streaky team all year long, but we know they have the top end talent. So that's going to be a good matchup tomorrow with Jacksonville State and Illinois in the loser's bracket. Illinois season on the line tomorrow. That is a very good two seed that I hope they get it together. I would think they can. I said in my last show, our hour and a half long live show that was also streamed on Twitter, that they were one of the teams that I could definitely see coming out of the regional pairing with the Arkansas region. Like, I like Illinois a lot. They can pitch it. They can hit. They have a reigning gold glove player of the year on their team. So they're nothing to sneeze at. And that's every regional, I think. Now, every regional on one side of the bracket. We still have the West Virginia regional, who West Virginia will be matching up with Duke tomorrow, as John Doxakis and Texas A&M got smashed tonight. Ben, what were your thoughts on A&M just not having it?
Yeah, it was just, it came down to two pitches for Doxakis. He gave up 2 3-run homers, which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, won the game because A&M only put up 5 runs. But interesting fact, A&M did have a little life to him at the end of the game. They gave up 4 in the top of the 8th, and Doxakis didn't give up both 3-run homers. I take that back. I believe I can't remember who it was. Maybe Bryce Miller or somebody gave up a 3-run homer. But A&M gave up 4 in the top of the 8th to make it 8-1. And the bottom of the 9th, A&M came back to score 4. So you saw a little bit of life. We saw some offense out of A&M. They really need that to carry over to tomorrow because their back's against the wall. They have to win 4 straight games, one against Fordham tomorrow, and then they'll have to beat the loser of Duke and West Virginia and one more game on Sunday.
It's not looking good for the Aggies. But on the other half of the regional, a bit of a shocker – John Stankiewicz, who only had 15 walks all season, gives up 4 walks in the 3rd inning, I believe, 3rd or 4th inning, and gets pulled from the game. I don't know what happened to him today. Maybe it was the crowd, because the atmosphere in Morgantown was unreal. Just
a little bit different than what he's used to at Fordham.
Yeah, you know, and maybe he felt the pressure. Maybe he just wanted to win the game for his team so bad to where it was a bit of a detriment to him. Believe it or not, that is a thing. Guys just want to win so bad they can't get out of their own way sometimes. But I was a little bit – I was questioning the pitch calls a little bit. I'm watching this game, and they were – he's a right-handed arm, and constantly when he was – as he was falling behind in the inning and it was getting out of control, they were constantly asking him to hit pitches down and away in the strike zone to right-handed batters. And that's very difficult because it can be very easy to pull the ball across the zone when you're trying to do that. Like, just set up fastballs middle in, a little high in the zone, like let his velocity play a little bit. He was fine throwing get me over breaking balls for strikes. Like, just trying to hit down and away in the zone. I think the coaching staff was just a little too nervous against a Big 12 lineup.
Fordham was definitely out talented, but there were some key moments in that game where I thought Fordham could have at least made it more interesting. We talked about it on the last podcast where we thought it was going to be very like risky for West Virginia not to start Manoah. We felt like Fordham was a sneaky good team that had one of the best pitchers in the nation and one of the best bullpens in the nation. So it worked out for West Virginia, but like Fordham, you're right. Like I felt like most of the walks came from just the mental side of Stankiewicz. And we'll just leave it at that. It's
100%.
They weren't supposed to win that game, so we can't bash them too. Whoa, voice crack there. We can't bash them too much.
I didn't even notice it, but hey, I have a special note on this Louisville game. Louisville beats Illinois Chicago 5-3, but Louisville's close.
Which is way too close for my
champion. Louisville has a habit of being the cardiac kids at home in these regionals recently. But Louisville's closer, McAveen, throwing 100 miles an hour to close out the game today. A hundo on the gun.
Steam. Straight steam.
Guys, we've talked about it on the show. Strikeouts play. Illinois Chicago had the tying run in scoring position in this game, and back-to-back strikeouts in the game. It's what plays, man. Strikeouts are huge. You'll never get a hit if you strike out. The defense will never make an error if you strike out. And if you are watching your favorite team and you do not have a guy capable of getting a strikeout when the game's on the line, hold your breath. Hold your breath, guys. And
good. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Louisville was able to escape because of it. I mean, not everyone can roll out 100, but there's ways to get strikeouts. It doesn't all have to be velocity.
How many straight years is that for Louisville having a closer that throws triple digits? Because we saw both birdies there for like 6 years combined.
I know, man. That is a special place, where they're able to get just elite, elite arms. I love Dan McDonald.
What kind of player development do they have there? I'm assuming it's really good, but like, do you know anything like insider?
I don't have any inside information. I know they have a deal with Diamond Kinetics, who they have, they're one of the bat sensor companies that track bat speed and all these metrics about how players' bats are moving. So you can, if you know what you're doing, and I know the Louisville guys do, you can really use those metrics to turn things around. But you may not have to turn many things around when you get the best players in the country, you know, but there's a lot of managing that goes on though. Like managing these kids' personalities, like you're dealing with kids who are passing up millions of dollars to come to your program. Like it's not the same as managing at Mercer or Longwood. It's just different.
Yeah. Because you're right. They have to manage the personalities of the freshmen who were high draft picks that chose to go to college, and then they show up and don't play their first year. And like that takes a big hit to the ego. Like you don't go back home, you know, for Christmas break bragging to your friends like, you know, hey, like I'm going to start in center field, this and that.
It's on ESPN.
Yeah. You come back and you're like, yeah, Louisville's okay. Like the team's good. Like we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to play yet. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've all been there. So, but breaking news, James, we have an Oregon State comeback 6-5 now, bottom of the seventh. So Cincinnati's bullpen could not hold that 5-2 lead. And it looks like Liberty's going to come away with a win 6-1 right now, bottom nine, one out. And so that sets up a really fun Liberty versus North Carolina matchup. And looks like this might be the first year where no four seeds beat a one seed.
Crazy. I'm very surprised. But we will, so we'll have to see how many one seeds escape out of the regionals. Then obviously your odds are much better if you're in the 1-0 game, but I actually went through my own picks, and I had like 12 of the 16 one seeds winning a regional. And when I saw that, I was like, oh man, that's way too high. Like it's nowhere, it's way too high, but things are looking good today. My eight teams for Omaha, all going to come away with victories. West Virginia, W. Louisville, W. Mississippi State, UNC, Georgia, Arkansas, Dallas Baptist over Florida sets them up with a game against Texas Tech tomorrow. Going to be must-see television, and UCLA as well. So I'm surviving day one. You know, you can't win the tournament day one, but you might be able to lose it. And so I'm hanging in there.
You can definitely lose the tournament day one, because James and I were talking about this. And listen up, fans, this is a key note, which you guys all know. You just maybe haven't heard it out loud yet. The difference between winning game one and losing game one in a regional is you have to win. If you win game one, you have to win two more games to win the regional. If you lose game one, you have to win four more games to win the regional. So think about it. You already played one game. Would you rather play two more, or would you rather play four more? And to win four straight, it's really tough to do.
Where are those extra 18 innings of pitching going to come from?
Exactly. So it is crucial whenever we talk about, like, why save your number one? Like, you know, there were so many people kind of bashing us for saying on Twitter, like, you know, hey, you should probably throw your number one starter game one because it's really important to win that game. And everybody's like, well, if your one seed can't beat a four seed, you shouldn't win the regional anyways. And it's like, you're right. Like, you could put it in that perspective, but, like, do you want to put it at risk? You want to?
Yeah, I don't think
your number two pitcher should be able to beat anybody's number two pitcher. So like, why don't you match up that way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to it.
Whichever way works is the right answer, James.
That's
the way people think. If it works, it's the right answer. Well, if it doesn't work, it's the wrong answer.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you this. If I decided to walk across the freeway with a blindfold on, and I made it, that doesn't mean it was a good decision. It just means it was a good result. And we can't confuse good results for good decisions, because that would be stupid.
That's some straight up life advice right there, James. I like
I'm just saying, man. I do a little baseball consulting for some college teams. Obviously can't name them, and it's a simple way that it's something that we talk about. It's like, we can't confuse a good result for a good decision. You have to make up your mind ahead of time. Is this a good decision or not, based off the information I have and the knowledge that I have acquired, and what am I okay with happening if this goes wrong, and all that crap. So
yeah.
So we know what we're talking about over here, all right? We've been in the game.
Sometimes. Most of the time. But so, James, we totally skipped over my favorite game of the day, which was a real eye-opener for me. because I didn't know what to think about either one of these two teams. And so whenever we were doing our like bracket pick'em challenge the other day on Twitter Live, I was kind of frozen. I was like, I don't know who to pick, Michigan or Creighton. Like, they're both like really high on the RPI, but they both haven't played a tough schedule at all.
Correct.
But the RPI is kind of fooled into thinking they played a tough schedule because they played a lot of road games.
Because we know the RPI formula.
Yeah. And so I was really excited to see Michigan come out, win 6-0 today. And dude, you picked Michigan to win this regional. The way I saw Oregon State play today, who is my regional winner, I think I might side with Michigan right now.
Dude, it's not so much like I have a big belief in Michigan. It's really a perfect storm. Michigan has put up great numbers on the mound and at the plate, so they're well-rounded. And Oregon State has been decimated by injuries, and their lineup isn't very deep. You know, they're not, and so that's kind of the perfect storm, and upsets have to come from somewhere. And the worst one seed, technically speaking, I'm not that terrified of them. Yeah. So,
well, hopefully Oregon State moves on today and wins against Cincinnati, because I have them in the top four of Omaha. Like, not even just to Omaha. Like, I think I have them in the top four. So that's that's an interesting one for me. But
they have the star power, and they have they're top heavy, and they're definitely believing themselves. So they're formidable, to say the least.
That's true. And the super regional matchup that they would match up with is this Los Angeles regional, where the number one team in the nation, UCLA, kind of struggled today against Omaha. I think the final score is like 5-1 or 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, Omaha's ace, I forget his name, Aaron Linney or Caleb Linney, something like that. He threw well today. UCLA just kind of out-talented him. But so UCLA, I don't know if I'm buying it, because the Pac-12 kind of looked weak today. From top to bottom, and UCLA and Oregon State kind of saved themselves late in the day. Mm-hmm. But a team I was really disappointed with was Baylor. Baylor looked clueless on the offensive side of ball against Loyola Marymount.
Yeah. And
Loyola Marymount also has a really good ace that they threw game one, and he was lights out. He kind of had a little Roy Halladay to him.
Ooh, rest in peace.
Like, kind of really tall and like tucked himself well, and sinkers and cutters.
Uncomfortable delivery, uncomfortable, like just not a fun at bat.
And he got pumped up late in the game. I think he ended up going like 8 innings, something 7 2/3, something like that. And Baylor loses 3-1. So now Baylor plays Omaha tomorrow. They shouldn't have any trouble with them, but you know, that is an extra game they have to play. And Loyola Marymount playing against UCLA tomorrow. Loyola Marymount is a team that I can guarantee you none of our listeners have seen play besides today, because I've tried to watch them play on TV this year. Can't do it. You can't find it. You can't find it on live stream. You can't do it. I don't know where to find them. I don't even know
can't
what
work with them. They're can't in. Coach with them. Can't do it.
So that'll be really fun for me to watch tomorrow night. I'm just going to kick back on my couch, not move all day, and wrap up the night with some UCLA-LMU matchup.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Wish we could watch these games together.
Aw, we can in spirit. We will.
Yeah, in spirit. Keep that poison ivy way over there.
Okay, you don't want to watch a game with me right now. I got little bumps on me.
Dude, there's always something wrong with you. You're either sick or poison ivy or just so many things.
It's just like sometimes I'm too funny. Sometimes I'm too likable. There's a lot of stuff wrong with me.
Well, Ben, I think that about does it.
No, it does not.
Oh,
I saved my favorite one for last.
Oh, you had another segment. You dog.
Yeah, so Stanford beat Sacramento State 11-0. Ball was flying all over the ballpark. That was the last regional. But the game in that regional that I was probably the most confident in a 3-2 upset was Fresno State against UC Santa Barbara. Everybody was all over Santa Barbara. You know, they should host, and I was on that train for a while too. And then once the WAC tournament came around, I saw Fresno State. And is it the WAC or is it the Mountain West?
Fresno State's in the Mountain West.
Mountain West, that's what it is. The MWC. I watched that tournament a lot. And Fresno State stuck out to me as a team that has some absolute dudes that – you know, they're big body players, like very physical, very athletic. And I was like, you know what? If there's a 3 seed this year that I like to go the furthest, It's two of them. It's Florida State and Fresno State, the two FSUs. And they ended up winning today at least 8-1. The game's still going on, but it's in the like eighth inning or ninth inning right now.
Well, you know, I got to give you a good call on the Fresno State pick because I'm looking over our rankings right now, and they've got an A-minus rating for pitching, B-plus in hitting, and B-minus in fielding. I mean, that's a well-rounded club right there.
They are. They're actually ranked in Baseball America right now, like 21 or 22.
Nobody's and they have been for a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah. And then the one thing that really stuck out to me was their – like the I'll have to pull up their schedule. I'll do it real quick. Their run that they're on right now is I think –
Fresno States?
I think – yeah. I think they've won 15 out of 16. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 – 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 and 3 in their last 23 games.
Fire.
Yeah, and nobody's talking about them. And so I was like, dude, these guys are athletic, they're big, they're strong, why not as a 3 seed? And so they play Stanford tomorrow. I don't know what time, but I will be watching them because I have Fresno State advancing from this regional into the super regionals. And the only reason why I don't have them going into the College World Series is because they run into Mississippi State in the super regionals in my bracket. And so the Bulldogs will win that series guaranteed if they match up. But yeah, big Fresno State fan over here. I think they have what it takes to make a run, not like 2008 when they win it all, but like, you know, a nice super regional, maybe win a game in the super regionals appearance. That's kind of my sleeper take for a 3 seed.
Okay, I like it. You guys just got some insight into the mind of Ben Upton.
Yeah, and so I think that pretty much does it for this podcast. I don't know what you're supposed to do to treat poison ivy. I think maybe...
Don't touch it.
Is it tomato juice or is that skunks? I'll leave you guys on that note. Thanks for listening.